This is the second part of our message from last Wednesday evening. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, we know that your word tells us where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that you would speak to us, be glorified and lifted up high, Lord, in our hearts and our minds, that we might be the light and the salt that you've called us to be. And Lord, we pray for your grace tonight to enter into our lives and, Lord, to be prevalent that we might be the light to the world. Bless and we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So again, the title of the message is Established in the Present Truth. That's God's will for the life of every believer. And he wants us to have that kind of a confidence, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. And boy, I tell you what, it is liberating when we realize what God has given to us. But here's the truth. This is an important truth that a lot of believers miss out on. And that is that all the promises of God have already been given to us, but we must receive them by revelation or understanding as God guides us with his Holy Spirit to hear from him, and then we must receive them by faith, because it is faith that pleases the Lord. And that is, that word, we can interchange that word faith with trust. Lord, I'm going to trust your word and not what the world is saying. Because what the world is saying and what God is saying are diametrically opposite. They're not the same. By the way, listen, Lord, I'm going to put my faith or my trust in your word more than how I feel. Because you know what? I don't always feel the same. There are some times, you might find this hard to believe, but you could ask my wife. There are some days that I just have a hard day. Now, I can either live a defeated life and never leave that place in my mind, or I can look to the Lord and be reminded that, wait a minute, the Lord gave me his joy. And what is that joy? I have been born again. I am a child of the King. That will never change. I'm in his hand and nobody can take me out. Isn't that good? So I can choose to walk in that. And by the way, in spite of what the news is saying, God is the one that is in control. Everything that comes into your life and mine, isn't this good, must go through the will of God, and he works at all these things for our good and his glory. And so as we consider that, I want to just remind you, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the first two points, but the first point was, we have obtained like precious faith. And again, these are three important truths that we need to know, not just know about them, but we need to be intimate with these truths here if we are to be established in the truth. They must be working. You know, we can know some things, but not really experience them. Does that make sense? And so God wants us to experience them. Let me remind you, do you remember David and Goliath? What was it? Now, it was God working in David that moved him to battle with Goliath. But do you remember what he counted on when he was before Saul? And Saul says, hey, whoa, wait a minute. You can't go out there. You're but a youth. And this man, Goliath, has been a warrior from his youth. And you know what David said? He didn't think about himself. He said, listen, God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear. And this Philistine is just the same. You know what he was saying? My confidence is not in what I can do. My confidence is in what God has already done, that I know he holds me and he is leading me and calling me to challenge. Listen, God gave him everything he needed to defeat Goliath. Whoa, wait a minute now. God gave you and I the same thing. To defeat all of the giants that are in our life, not in our strength, but in his. And so what happens is the believer gets the first part right. They get saved by faith.
And now all of a sudden they're rolling up their sleeves and they're getting busy for God in their strength. And they're wondering why things don't work out the way that they would think they would work. And that's because, listen, here's an important truth. God will not share his glory with anyone. Not even his children. But when he reveals his strength through us, and we know it's not us because we know we can't do it, then we glorify the Lord. And so when we consider this, he says, we've obtained like precious faith. The second thought is how grace and peace are multiplied. And the third part is what his divine power has done for us. And that's what we're going to zero in on. But I want to look at a couple of things here. Look at verse 1 with me just for a moment. And remember, let me remind you anyway, of last week we talked about how to obtain this like precious faith. And by the way, Peter's saying it. We have the same precious faith. Now listen, we have the same precious trust that Peter has in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a precious thing. Do you know why? Let me just equate it like this. Why are you saved and somebody else isn't? It ought to be precious. But for the grace of God, I could walk in ignorance to God. So it's a precious thing that my eyes were opened up to the truth of my need of God's redemption in my life. But listen, equally as important, it is a precious faith that as we understand the Word of God in truth and in knowledge, God opens up this understanding that listen, this is a hard truth to learn. It's not us, it's God in us that gives us the hope of glory. If you'll realize, God is not saying, okay, now you've got to do all this work if you're going to get any crowns. So I know you got grace right with eternal life. That's one thing. You've got grace right. You know that you cannot earn your salvation. But if you're going to get any crowns, did God just change? If you're going to get any crowns, well, you're going to have to do something. No, that's all wrong. That's all wrong. If you're going to get any crowns, in fact, I want you to understand this. Listen, Paul said, remember, I fought a good fight. I ran a good race. He says, henceforth, there's laid up a crown for me only. Is that what he said? Or did he also say, and not for me only, but for all those who are mighty in their own strength? No. But for all those who love the Lord. Let me ask you tonight, ready? And I know you do, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. If you're here and you're saved, do you love the Lord tonight? All right? Then you fall in Paul's category for all those that love the Lord. Now, all we have to do is do the same thing we did when we got saved, and that is to let go of our understanding and trust the Lord. Put our faith in the Lord, not in anything else, not in what we can do, because that's going to lead you to utter frustration. Don't ask me how I know that, but I know that, all right? Because I've done that, and I've striven, and I strove to try to be pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Why did I do that? Because I love him. Because he saved me. But it's still all wrong. Let me back you up to Peter. How long did Peter have to learn his lessons? Right? But I'm telling you, that's the typical believer, believe it or not. Let's not be too hard on Peter, because we can look at him in the mirror. Oh Lord, they'll all forsake thee. You know, I am without a doubt that he meant that with all sincerity, because he loved the Lord. But you know what the Lord said? Oh, there's something you don't know, Peter, tonight, three times. And he did. And you know he loved the Lord so much? You know how I know that? Because he wept Bitterly was what the Bible said. If he didn't love the Lord, he wouldn't have done that. But very quickly, watch this. Look at the vehicle here and look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Notice, here's the vehicle now. Here's how we do this. Through, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Did you see that? We've got to get that. Listen, it's not my righteousness, it's God's righteousness. It's not my fabricated righteousness, but it's the Lord's. Then notice this. Now peace is multiplied. Once we understand that, and this is important, because you're going to see the word knowledge here. And I'm going to explain that to you here in just a moment. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Do you want grace and peace tonight and for the rest of your life? Absolutely. Well, here's how we get it. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge, notice, of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us. Again, is it just some? Most? Or is it all things that pertain unto life and godliness? He's given unto us. He's not saying you do it. I have given unto you, is what he's saying, everything that you need that pertains unto life and godliness, not through your strength, but notice the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, I want to stop right there, and we're going to see this word knowledge pop up again, all right? We already saw it here in verse 2, and you're going to notice it here a little bit later in verse 5, and we may not get over there. We need to get to our text here, or the portion of Scripture that we didn't cover last Wednesday. And then you're going to notice it again in verse 8. But I want you to understand, as we consider the word knowledge, it's epigenosis. That's the Greek word. You can forget it. If you forget it, that's fine. But the word knowledge in the Greek has a specific meaning, and that is to understand the precise and correct knowledge concerning the nature of Christ. That's important. Because, see, we think, well, knowledge is information, and it is. But it's understanding the nature of Christ and how he works and not ourselves. Because otherwise we get it flipped upside down. So watch what happens right here. So he's given us divine power. And that's what verse 3 says. Does it not look according as his divine power? So if we're operating in our power, we're going to be frustrated. But if we operate in God's power that he's given to us concerning all things that pertain unto life. And by the way, listen. I want you to stop and think about this. When you got saved, were you not given eternal life? Is Peter talking to believers? He's not talking to the lost world. But all those things that pertain to life, do you know that the life of Christ is not just a one-time born-again experience and that's the end of it? No, listen, that's the beginning of it. Do you remember when you experienced God's grace and forgiveness? Were you a little bit excited? Were you amazed at the idea that God actually imparted to you eternal life and your life was never the same again? And I walked away thinking, wow, the Creator of everything has pardoned my sins. Listen, before I got saved, I believed he was there somewhere. I didn't know who he was. And then when he saved me, nobody could tell me different. Can they tell you any different? Can they say, oh, listen, there's no such thing as God? No way. No way. God revealed himself to me. And that is the exact same way. That was life. And now he's saying, these are the things that I want you to have that pertain to life. What is that? That is the joy unspeakable and full of glory that if the child of God will seek the Lord to reveal that truth, Lord, reveal yourself to me and your will in my life. Watch what God will do every day of our lives. And then you know what? Listen, every day, show me more, Lord. Every day, Lord, show me more. Listen, believers today walk around, yeah, I'm saved. I got saved. The world would look at that and say, wow, what is that? Is that a club? The saved club? Or did something... See, if we're not careful, we have this... There's a distance in our experience with the Lord. Now, there's a fundamental truth that I believe the Spirit of God embeds, and we are thankful, and we do love the Lord. But that does not equate the power of God in our lives. See, that's all God's grace, and that's all God's gift. And that's what he's given. And watch what he wants us to do here now, okay? So we understand this vehicle is of his grace and peace and of this precious faith is by this knowledge of God, this experiential knowledge that God wants us to have. And notice this experiential knowledge. Look at verse 3 again. He says, I want you to know that it is his divine power, according as his divine power hath given unto us. Does God want you to experience his divine power? Man, if not, we're failures. There is nothing that God has called us to do that he expects us to do in our own strength. And that's why we fail. I can attest to that personally. I can tell you many times. Why am I failing? Why am I failing? Do you know what I would have done? Just imagine, all right? I mean, I just want you to think, and don't think bad of me, all right? But this is the human nature. Over and over again, if I am successful at my efforts for God, you'll see me acting, and I'm not against sports, all right? But you'll see me doing some crazy things like people that make baskets or people that score touchdowns. And who am I patting on the back and praising? God wants us to realize that everything comes from him. And realize that let's just recall John chapter 15. Jesus said to his disciples, without me, you can do what? But with Christ, we can do what? Oh, well, isn't that amazing? So if these things are not being accomplished, something's missing. It's not our effort that's missing. In fact, that's what ought to be missing. It's God in us, the hope of glory. All right. So we're given all these promises. And now I want you to drop down with me, if you would, just for a moment here, to verse 8, and I want you to see how fruitfulness happens in the life of the believer. Verse 8, for if these things be in you, so God wants them to be in there, but I want you to understand it's an if. It's an if. The remedy's already been given. So for example, if you're sick and you need healing of some disease or something, and the doctor says, okay, now if you'll take this, did you hear that? You'll be better. If this is the prescription, if you'll do this, this will be the result. God is saying the same thing. If you'll put your faith and call upon me and not look to how you feel, because let's just be honest, we're all natural. We've been indwelt with the supernatural, with the Holy Spirit. But you can wake up, you still deal with the natural man. I've told you this before, and listen. So being filled with the Spirit, right? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, and there's people running around asking for the filling of the Holy Spirit. You're already filled with the Holy Spirit when you got saved. Here's what that text is saying. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. In other words, do not be influenced by alcohol. Do not be inebriated. Isn't that what the text is saying? But you already are indwelt, but allow the Holy Spirit to control you. You make a mistake. So for example, very quickly, do I say to a lost person, listen, if you want to be saved, ask Jesus to die for you? Is that what I tell the lost person? Or do I tell them, believe in what Jesus has already done for you? When Jesus died on the cross, was half of it finished? Or was all of it finished? If it's all finished, then we have everything that we need. And here are all the precious promises that have been given to us. How do we take hold of these things? By calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord, reveal to me the wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Remember, knowledge, the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth, the correct knowledge of what God has already given to me. And he's talking to believers. Do you know why? Because he knows our natural self and the battle that we were going to experience. So as you read the New Testament, you will see over and over and over again, God dealing with this because he wants us to walk in this victory. All right, very quickly. Let's look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, and God wants them to abound. If they be in you and abound, if they're not abounding, don't try harder. Call upon the Lord to bring this to fruition. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you. Notice it doesn't say you will make yourself. If these things that God, these precious promises, if they're in you, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. In the knowledge, the correct knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be set free. Well, I thought I'm already free because I'm saved. Well, yeah. But God wants to set us free to enjoy the grace of God in our life, because that's what the world is going to see. And when they see, you know what, listen, and again, we're not always happy, but joy cannot be robbed from us concerning the truth of God and what he's given to us in our eternal life. And the experience, remember when David said, that's why he was able to go out. I experienced in my past the defeat of the lion and the bear. You might be facing a lion and a bear today. In the grace of God, that can be defeated. And he wants it to be defeated. And again, it has nothing to do with emotions. We're going to experience the emotions. And there's nothing wrong with being sad and experiencing hardship. But you know what? There's an inner joy that passes understanding, that carries us through, that the world looks on and says, that would have killed me. I would have fell apart. Why? As they tap you on the shoulder. How? And we would tell them, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be nothing. And that's the difference that I'm convinced is missing in the life of the believer. So watch this today in our society. It doesn't have to be. It's just misunderstood. So he says this in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And notice, and they have forgotten that, notice, he was purged from his old sins. You know what God is saying? If you're saved, and then we're not talking about being lost, all right? We don't know what other people are experiencing, but here's the truth. It's not saying, well, if they're not living right, they're not right with God. Well, they may not be experiencing the full grace of God, but it doesn't mean that they don't have the righteousness of God, and they may be experiencing a very difficult battle in their life. But the answer's in the Lord, and they're missing that. Because God does not, listen, Paul even despaired of life. I understand all that. But God wants us to realize here, if we lack these things, we've been short-sighted on what God has provided for us. Very quickly, look at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, notice, to make your calling and election sure. In other words, Lord, you've called me to bear fruit, right? Kindness, gentleness, meekness, all these things. If these things are absent, don't just let it go and say, because I can't do it. God never expected us to do it in the first place. We bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, this is not happening in my life. Please, Lord, make it happen in my life. You've promised it. You've given it to me. And the problem is because the Bible says you have not because you what? And we need to ask in faith that, trusting, you've already given this to me, Lord. I want you to produce it. And watch what God will do. Very, very quickly again. All right, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And this is Peter. For so, through the Holy Spirit, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Is Peter just talking to believers in his day? Did the Holy Spirit just mean for these Christians that Peter was writing to, or did he mean it for us? So, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has created the potential in himself for you to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if you want it. Wherefore, I will not be negligent, and that's tonight, to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. And notice, and be established in the present truth. That's what God wants us to have happen in our lives. That we might be a witness and a testimony If we'll just but ask him, show me the way, Lord. Your Bible says this is what I'm supposed to do. I failed it. I failed doing it with my own strength. I'm giving up on that, God. I'm wanting you to do business, Lord, in my life. And watch what God will do. And he'll guide you in all of that. He wants to, because that's his will for us, is it not? That we might be the light and the salt of the world. He wants to fill our cup with his joy. How high? Halfway? Oh, just up to the top? He wants it to overflow. Why? Because the full cup's for you. Everything that flows over is for your family first. That's the first institution God created back in the garden for your family, that they might see Christ in you. We got it flipped upside down, right? We're in a rush Sunday morning. Boy, oh boy. Hurry up. We're going to be late. You run. Shut, and oh my goodness, you know, and we walk through the doors. Hi, brother. Sister. How you doing? Right? We got it flipped upside down. God wants the grace that comes off out of our life into our family first, then into God's church, and then to the world. Isn't God good? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you bless the remainder of the evening as we break off for prayer. And Lord, may you empower your church, your believers, to experience your mighty grace, Lord, that we might be in awe and worship you on a daily basis. And Lord, that the world might see there is a God in heaven that is involved and concerned and wants to bless the lives of mankind. Bless, Lord, the rest of the evening, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.